This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by our new friends, Off to Neverland Travel. Now, you may be saying, I love the fact that you guys always have a travel agency. Well, this is more than a travel agency. They pride themselves in getting to know you as a client, as a friend, your stories. They take care of everything. They tailor everything from their recommendations. They'll handle your fast passes. They'll handle your dining reservations. They're almost a concierge for visiting Walt Disney World.
And that's why they call them magic makers. When you get in touch with a magic maker at Off to Neverland, they're going to make sure your experience at Walt Disney World is absolutely the best it can be. And these magic makers, they do such a good job. All you have to do is pack. Just everything else is planned.
Packity pack. Pack the bags. Good to go. Everything will be planned. And I would suggest even going over their website, even if you're not booking a trip right now. And their website, by the way, is gotoneverland.com. Make sure you use that domain because it tells them that you heard about it right here on WDW Today. I'm looking at their website right now. It's really good to go to their story. They have a button that says Our Story right at the top. It tells you why they started this business. It's really emotional. It's a really great way to see that this is more than just a travel agency. These are Disney fans that really have created something special. Just remember, Off to Neverland is an authorized Disney vacation planner, but they can also book off property, on property, whatever you need. They'll handle it for you. Daily itineraries, gotoneverland.com.
What was that URL one more time, Logan?
Gotoneverland.com. And remember, use that URL because that tells them you heard about it right here on WDW Today. All right. You guys ready? You ready? Excited?
Here yeah. All right.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It is Wednesday, January 6, 2016, and this is episode 1493 of WDW Today. I am Logan Seculo. Joining with me is Will Haynes.
Hello, everyone.
And Mr. Terry Weaver.
Hello.
All right. You may be saying, who are these people? I've never heard these voices before. Well, you can catch up. You can listen to the last few episodes to hear what's been going on. But there's been a bit of a transition as we go into taking over what has been an amazing legacy of WDW Today. You may say, where's everybody else? Where are the other guys? Well, the other guys have moved on, except for Len Testa, who's going to be joining us later in the episode for listener questions, as he will each and every week on WDW Today. All right, well, I want to introduce ourselves a little bit if you haven't heard those episodes. I'm Logan Seculo. I've been a listener to this broadcast. I've been listening since about episode 200, so I've heard about 1,300 episodes of this broadcast. I've gone back and listened to even more. It's been a big part of my life growing up and becoming a big fan of Disney, even more so than I am traditionally. It was a great outlet to experience Disney with like-minded people and to get a little bit of the magic at home when you weren't there or planning your next trip. It's always been fun, and we want to continue that legacy as much as possible while still moving the show forward. So you're going to hear some new stuff. You're going to hear some old stuff. We're going to get to all of that later in the show. My Disney history is pretty strong. From the time I was probably 2 years old, I started going to the parks. I don't have a memory before going to the parks. It's some of the earliest memories I have going to Walt Disney World or to Disneyland. I got married at Walt Disney World. We had our reception at the Great Movie Ride. I am sold out for Disney, a hardcore fan, done many cruises, done a lot of these things. I also directed and produced a film called As Dreamers Do, and it's about the early life of Walt Disney. A lot of hidden Disney references in there. And really, this has been a passion of ours for a long time for the three of us, and we're happy to shepherd this program forward. And I want to do that by introducing you to the other hosts of WDW Today. First, we got Will Haynes.
Hello, everyone.
Will Haynes has been a friend of mine since we were 2 years old. We've been going to the park since about then, so as long as we could. Also grew up in Orlando, Florida, and you know has a lot of experiences with Disney. Was also part of the film.
That's actually one of my first memories is when you and I went as either 2 or 3 years old. We went to Disneyland,
yep.
And I remember riding the Haunted Mansion ride, getting so freaked out as a child. I was crying, wailing. I remember this so vividly. And my dad left his camera on the ride. And it was a whole ordeal having to get the cast members to get back on the ride, try to find that car in a dark haunted mansion to find that camera. And then obviously you mentioned I grew up in Orlando, so I've been going to the parks at Walt Disney World for pretty much my whole life. Yeah. I still go frequently.
Yeah, we still go all the time together. And that, I'm just going to, you know, we'll get to Terry. Terry's next, but Terry can chime in on this. You say that about the Haunted Mansion. I have a 3-year-old son. He's asking to go on the Haunted Mansion. Collectively, let's talk about this for a moment. When do you think is the appropriate age to go on the Haunted Mansion?
Well, as I just said, I had a pretty traumatic experience. I was either late 2, early 3.
Yeah.
But I do know for a fact that you wrote it was your favorite thing ever. I have this image in my mind of looking over at you and you having this face like, what is his problem? Yeah. This is a lot of fun. So I can't definitively say for me, 2 or 3 was too early.
I actually remember as a kid, like, holding off on that ride because, like, I just have horror stories of going to, like, haunted houses as a kid. Yeah. So I just had terrible experiences. But, you know, I think your son, I think he'd be cool with it.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a different kind of guy to begin with already at 3 years old. But, you know, I started riding it pretty early. And the only thing, honestly, is really that first room. If it wasn't for the screaming and the person hanging, I think he would be in the darkness. I think he'd be totally cool. It's just getting through the stretching room. But let's move on from that. And let's go to our other host on the program, another person joining us from the Making Elephants Fly podcast and the new book, Making Elephants Fly. Terry Weaver is joining us. And Terry clearly has an affinity for flying elephants.
Yes, I do. In fact, the ride Dumbo was actually how I sort of got inspired by the idea of Walt's quote of, you know, if you can dream it, you can do it. And the idea
it's
that...
debatable. Huh? I'm just kidding. Huh? It's debatable.
Well, yeah.
He said something like it.
He said something. That his longer quote is... let's start that. That's a whole episode.
Yeah, we'll get to there one day.
And the idea that just if Walt could make elephants fly in a theme park, then we can accomplish big things with our own lives. And so on the Making Elephants Fly podcast, we sit down with leaders and Disney Imagineers and animators sometimes. And
yeah, it's really great if you're a Disney fan. Or if you're not a Disney fan, why are you listening? You shouldn't be listening. But for Disney fans or not, it's a great resource for entrepreneurship and other ways you can
I think I might start my own separate podcast so I can get free ad time too.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's Will Haynes with the podcast. We'll just fill it in later on.
The Will Haynes cast.
Yeah. So that's great. And you've been obviously a fan of that. I have a question. You've happily married a lot of Disney love in your life, but you do occasionally, because of your work, do solo trips to Disney World. And I think that's going to help for a lot of people who listen, who do take solo trips. Do you do Dumbo by yourself?
I always, Dumbo's every time I ride.
So it doesn't matter.
Yes.
See, I would feel a little weird, right? I've ridden it in front of my son and my wife so that I could take pictures, but I'd be like, okay, all right.
I normally ride it alone when I'm with my wife because I go crazy on the up and down stick there.
Do you just close your eyes and imagine that you're on the real Dumbo?
Yes.
When you're by yourself?
Of course I would do that. Yeah. Timothy Mouse talks to me in my...
Have you ever seen the Dumbo mask, like the Dumbo character?
I never have.
Yeah, a few of my friends have always posted pictures. I'm like, that's so hard to find.
Yeah, in fact, we had the show has a friend that was just in, like, that works for the parks, and Dumbo came by their office. I was like, next time that happens, I need to know.
Yeah, you need some time to get down there.
Yes.
We are broadcasting from the Nashville, Tennessee area. A lot of people are asking, you know, where's the show broadcasting out of? The three of us frequent Orlando and Anaheim often. Like you said, Will and I both lived in Orlando for many years. Terry theoretically should have essentially lives there probably more than we do now. So we're there a lot. We'll be able to meet up with you guys throughout, you know, your visits to Walt Disney World and Disneyland. We're also going to have guest correspondents who are going to be on the ground, always at the parks. So in Disneyland, we have Jen, Disneyland Jen. You'll see her on Twitter. And we also have Sparkly Nicole in Walt Disney World, who you'll find on all social media doing lots of amazing things. So follow both of them. We'll post that in the show notes. But they're going to be on the ground. So if you want to meet some of us, they'll be almost there as often as possible. I think Nicole is there quite a bit. So I think that's a good one. And Jenny is there as well. So again, we'll always be down there. But in Nashville, if you're listening, we know we have a lot of local listeners too in Nashville. We're going to be doing local meetups all the time, including one in about 10 days. So if you want to join that, all you need to do is message our Facebook page at WDW Today and say you want to join the Nashville group, and we'll be happy to help you with that. Well, we got a lot to cover today because this is the January preview show for WDW Today. We're kind of throwing it back, kind of like what the guys always did. We're going to do a January preview, and after that, Lynn Testa is going to be joining us with listener questions. But first,
we do have something that's going to call back to the old show.
Yeah. Yeah. So we know every show used to open, they'd go through each one of the guys. They'd go, you know, to Mike and or to Newell and to Lynn. And then they'd go to Scopa, and Scopa would throw out a quote. And with that, They'd each guess of what the quote was, and it would just kind of move on. Now, to quote Imre Lagasse, because who doesn't? You know, it's the 90s for all of us. We're going to kick it up a notch.
I like it.
Yeah, and we're going to kick it up a notch with a little thing we're calling Quote Quiz. Now, for this first edition of Quote Quiz, we're going to give you an understanding of how it's going to work from here on out. It's going to be a little bit different, and you can be involved and win some cool stuff. Will, take it from here.
So unlike the spur-of-the-moment Quote Quiz of days gone by, we're turning it into a game amongst the three of us here. Now, there's three of us, and you may ask, well, who's going to ask the question? We're going to take turns being the host of the Quote Quiz, and one of us will have a guest call in and play the game for us. Today, I'll be hosting it. I'll give out the quote. You and Terry will be guessing, but we also have a guest today, Zoe, who will be joining to play in my place. Now, we're going to keep track on the website, the leaderboard for the quote quiz. So if you, Terry, or Zoe playing in my place wins today, the winner will get 1 point, and going forward, you'll always be able to see who's winning the quote quiz.
So as we connect with Zoe for this first edition of Quote Quiz, you may be saying, I want to play. I want to, you know, essentially be Terry or Logan or Will, because who doesn't?
Yes.
And represent us and also win some really cool prizes. Well, there's a couple of easy ways you can do it. Connect with us on social media. Go to Facebook, post on Facebook that you want to be a part of Quote Quiz. Send us a message, get in touch, and we'll get you in the queue to hopefully get you on the show. And it's a great way. It's a lot of fun. We hope you like our interpretation of Quote Quiz. I think we have Zoe on the line now. Right, Will?
Yeah, we have Zoe.
I am so excited.
So to buzz in, you're going to say your name. After I read the quote, you will say your name. And the first one I hear, I will go to first. If you fail to answer correctly, then I will go to the next name I thought I heard. So we'll see how this goes. And if you're ready, everyone, I want to hear a ready from you, and we'll get the quote read.
Ready.
Ready.
I'm ready.
All right.
Say it loud.
The quote is, you are not the first to pass this way.
Oh, man. I know this.
Zoe.
All right, Zoe. What's your guess?
Is it Norway? The Norway ride? What's it called? Maelstrom.
Yes. And Zoe is the winner.
Zoe gets it with Maelstrom. Zoe wins.
Zoe wins. It was from Maelstrom. And yes. Zoe, you will be getting a Laugh-O-Gram prize package.
And that's one win for Will, because she was playing for you.
That's right. She was playing for me. So,
first one on the board.
So we will tally our scores here, studio, and it is 1 for Will, 0 for Logan, and 0 for Terry.
Thank you, Zoe, for calling in. We'll get in touch with you to get you that prize pack.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Zoe, for calling in, being a part of our first quote quiz. We know we mixed up a little bit. You got to see firsthand what happens, because neither Terry nor I we're up on our Maelstrom, and it's unfortunate because I really wanted to win the first one. But Zoe pulled off, so Will, she played for Will, so Will is on the board. We'll put that on the website, too. We'll always keep a tally so you can see who's winning, whether it's Will, me, or Terry. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back, though, with the January review. You'll get to hear what's happening this month of January, the good, the bad, the ugly, all coming up right after this. I just want to take a quick break to tell you about our new friend and sponsor, Walt Life. Now, you may have been driving through Walt Disney World. You may have been even here in Nashville, Tennessee. I've seen them driving around here and seen these big decals on the back of people's cars that say Walt Life. And you may have wondered, how do I get one of those awesome decals? Well, that's not all they do. But if you do want one of those decals, you just go to waltlife.com. When you're there, you're going to see some really cool stuff. They do giveaways every month on their Facebook page. They also do subscription box services. If you need a little taste of the magic back when you're at home, they have an awesome subscription service. Essentially, you get a box of goodies, of Walt Disney World goodies, every month. It's really great. And also, they do pin trading. There's tons of different ways you can get involved with Walt Life. And again, it's at waltlife.com. Again, I mean, I just still got a sticker. I just got one in the mail. I got my t-shirt, my Walt Life t-shirt. If you want to show your love and your passion for Walt Disney World and all things Walt Disney, it's a great way to do it. Looks cool. It's clean. I really think you're going to like it. Again, one more time, waltlife.com. Make sure you tell them you found out about them right here on WDW Today.
And you know, Logan, it's more than a vacation. It's a way of life.
go to waltlife.com. Welcome back to WDW Today. I told you we'd do it. Now we're going to go to January in review. So we're going to tell you if you're traveling to Walt Disney World this month.
January preview.
Let's start over.
In review is what's
Look, I'm
happened.
New on the job here, guys. So calm down.
Sure, union labor is cheap.
It's the January preview. And typically, you know, this is our first episode. We're already a week into January. We're going to try to give you these updates actually a week leading up to the month from now on. So you have some ideas when to plan. Because right now, as we start this January, you know, we're a week in. We've actually kind of hit some of the most important things that have happened in January. The marathon weekend is coming up. Obviously, we're past New Year's. Those are kind of the two big things. There's a few other things we'll hit on that are happening around the parks. But because of that, we're going to try to take these preview episodes and move them to the week leading up to the month. So you'll be able to listen to them as you're headed down. All right. So we're going to cover a couple different topics here. We got closures, we got weather, and we've got the crowd calendar so you know when to go, when not to go. So let's go over to Will. Will, with the weather.
Yeah, I told you earlier I grew up in Orlando, so I think I've got my thumb on the pulse of Orlando weather at all times. Really, folks, you think about going to Florida, and you think it's always tropical paradise, which for the most part, it's pretty accurate. The average temperature in January during the day is probably around 70 degrees. You know, a little slight variation some days here in the mid-60s, around the 14th and 15th of the month. And then some days up close to the 80s. Here's the key. You're going to Florida in January. It's still January. Yeah. It's still winter. So don't just only pack shorts and t-shirts. Bring a little lightweight jacket, some jeans, just in case it does all of a sudden. Weather pattern comes through, cold front, dips down temperature. At night, it can get down in the 50s and 40s. Yeah. So just be aware that if you only bring shorts and flip-flops, you might not be as comfortable as you
would
prefer
to be. Or
you're
going to go shopping and buy a really nice hoodie. And Disney World does have quality hoodies.
Yeah, you're going to be spending about $45 on a hoodie, probably minimum. But you'll be able to go through, and that's happened to me for sure.
Oh, yeah. And you kind of do that at least one day on the trip, like, on purpose.
Yeah.
Because, like, well, you don't need a new hoodie. But I can tell you what, there's 100% chance of Floridians dress like it's actually snowing in Florida.
Yeah, if you are not from Florida and you are used to some cold weather, you don't have to bring gloves and scarves. And
if you're a Floridian,
toboggans.
You need your North Face jacket.
It's cold.
You know,
it is that weird month in January where it's kind of all bets are off. I'd say that around anywhere in the Southeast.
Yeah.
January can be, you can have a snowstorm or you can have nothing. Now in Florida, you're not going to have a snowstorm, but it has gotten to, let's say,
you have to cover up the plants.
Snow temperatures. Yeah, it's in
the freezing.
It'll freeze
overnight.
So you have to be careful with that. That being said, it's a great time to visit Walt Disney World because not a lot of people do because you're just coming off the holidays. You're just coming off of Christmas.
That.
You're just coming off of New Year's. So really, once you pass New Year's and really take out Martin Luther King Day, the crowds are pretty low overall. So once you get past that sort of first week when kind of the crowds teeter off, you know, for the crowd calendar on touring plans, you're talking about numbers in the starts kind of hitting the sixes and it drops quickly to even in the fours and threes throughout the month of January. Like I said, the only exception to that rule is really the marathon weekend, which really isn't that bad. You know, you're talking about sixes and sevens, but that Martin Luther King Day kind of weekend, it goes crazy.
Yeah.
And it goes crazy for locals a lot. It goes crazy for a lot of people that travel. So you're talking about it jumps from on a Wednesday, January 13th, it jumps from a 3 to by the Friday, 2 days later, it's at a 9 and then a 10 for the weekend.
Logan, I actually have a question about that crowd counter that you're using. You know, for us that have gone to the parks and understand planning ahead, but for someone that's new, maybe because we're a new staff here running the show that may be interested in hearing and also may be interested, explain what those numbers actually mean for someone that's going to Disney may not know. What's the difference in a 6 and a 3? And
What I've really learned is if you're kind of under a 4 or 5, your crowds are going to be pretty decent, but nothing that's going to drive you crazy. I have been to a 10. I have been on the Christmas Day. I've been on New Year's Day and New Year's Eve, and it is absolutely insanity. Now I think they even say like a 10 on New Year's doesn't mean necessarily a 10 later on because New Year's is like should be like
it's like 100.
Yeah, exactly. They close the park because it gets to capacity. But 10 can be pretty miserable, and All it really means is you're going to be waiting in a lot of lines and there's going to be a lot of people touching you. So plan accordingly. That means get your fast passes, get reservations as early as possible to make sure you have a good time. Now, I've gone on busy days, even with my three-year-old son. And as long as I had sort of a good idea and a touring plan, everything was fine. You're just going to have to go in there with some, you know, mental knowledge going.
I think it's all about set expectations.
Right, exactly.
Because, like, we've been on, like, Thanksgiving Day. We went on a cruise the day after Thanksgiving last year. And we were like, oh, this is going to be nuts. We made our fast pass reservations.
Yeah.
And then we went to Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Yeah.
So we had sort of planned, like, we knew, like, we were going to go ride those three rides. And, like, if there was no line at the teacups or something, we'd go hop in there.
Yeah, and that helps for people that are annual pass holders. And they can kind of do just sort of the three attractions and get out. I've definitely done that myself. But I understand a lot of you traveling, you can't necessarily do that. You're planning your trip accordingly. But I think you're absolutely right. You have to kind of set your mental expectations of what you're getting yourself into. This is where I think FastPass Plus has actually been a huge,
huge
help. And it's been a huge help. The fact that I have a three-year-old son. The fact that I know going in, I'm going to get these three attractions under, you know, my belt within the first couple hours of being there is great. Little tip. A lot of people know. A lot of people don't know. As soon as you check in to a FastPass Plus attraction, you can actually usually adjust the time for your next one. So instead of waiting a full hour, you can often say, like, I've been in line for Small World, let's say, and I've gone through, I've kind of dinged in, put the, you know, the Mickey ears is lit green twice. At that point, the ride doesn't know when you're on it or when you're off. You can immediately go on the app, change the time. And I've done two or three FastPass Plus attractions, my whole set of them, within the first hour and a half of being there. So it's a really, that's just a little interesting tip for those
which
that kind of want to get in and get out.
In busy times and also in not as busy times.
Yeah, for sure.
If you want to tighten your window up a little bit.
Yeah, because some people want to blow through their FastPass Pluses so they can get to that fourth one that kind of is always looming, the hanging one. So maybe they can get it for, you know, a parade or for fireworks, something like that. You don't necessarily want to burn that early on in the day. It's a great way to go in and kind of, you know, game the system, but kind of work the system to your advantage a little bit when it comes to that. But I think Terry's right. You know, plan accordingly. If you're, especially you're going to go those first, those, you know, 10 out of 10s, whether that's on Martin Luther King Day, or the marathons can get pretty hectic. And if you're going to the kind of the wrong place at the right time, that's why your touring plans really helps to look at that crowd calendar and see what's happening, what places. Typically in the January preview, we tell you all the cool events that are happening in January, everything that's going on around the parks. Really, January, they don't really care about too much at the Walt Disney World Resort because of the fact that they're just getting off of Christmas. You'll see Christmas wrap up in the last day of the Osborne Lights, the 3rd. So, you know, this will be, it's already closed. Sadly, if you miss the Osborne Lights, it's gone forever. And
rumors are that it's coming to Disney Springs. I don't know if that'll actually happen.
That's a fun idea.
That sounds both fun and like craziness at Disney
that's
Springs.
That's also true. I guess there's money to be made in retail, but everyone's saying they can't. A free ticket.
You know, we were talking earlier a couple days ago about the whole light issue, and I do kind of wish that they left the lights up a little longer, just for maybe some people that couldn't make it down during the holidays. They were with families, but they still want to experience the Disney magic.
I kind of wish they push it that way than where it is now, because right now it's typically the first week in November, everything goes up
a little early.
It's super early, but yeah, I think I'd agree with you that I'd like to see it run a little late, maybe. And not go as little early. Though, one of my sort of Disney World bucket lists is to go for that last Halloween party, stay the full week, and by the end of the week, it's Christmas.
Because who wouldn't want Christmas Day to come right after October 31st?
You know, you get a lot of good pictures. That being said, I kind of agree with Will. It would be cool to see the Christmas spirit last a little longer that way. So locals or people that like you guys that don't want to travel when it's a 10 out of 10 can go down there when they can post holidays, when you have your vacation days and they've kind of re-upped at that point. You can't just go the week before Thanksgiving, which is an awesome time to go, but hard on a lot of people the week before Christmas, where it's pretty quiet, but it's hard for a lot of people to justify their vacation. Other than that, we also have closures. January is a good month for things to typically be closed. The winter is not too fun for some of the water rides and that type of thing. You'll know that if you're a Disney Parks fan. I've crushed a lot of people when we've walked in and seen some attractions close and they didn't know about it. So we want to make sure you know what's being closed and for how long and for what reason. So, Terry, you got that list in front of you, right?
Yeah. There's always a water park closed. We didn't print that out.
I think maybe both the water parks are closed in January.
There's always one that's closed, and then there's one that's probably going to be closed because once it gets below a certain temperature, they close it.
And you don't want to do that, folks. Let's just be honest.
Yes.
You really want to go to a water park in January? Well, You can count it.
Do I want to? Well, I mean, if it's 85, then sure. Yes. Yes. But
if it's
no, probably not. It just kind of feels wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's January.
Wait until February. Wait until it's hot
February is actually a little colder in Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, most places.
Get to spring break.
Yeah.
We actually have an attraction, and it's a restaurant, but in my mind, it's an attraction. It's the end of the Pizza Planet arcade.
Okay, I thought Terry was like, all restaurants are attractions. All restaurants are attractions for us here at WDW yes. today.
Hey, you can't underestimate the entertainment value of a good buffet.
I don't. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
But Pizza Planet is at Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios. Yeah.
Been there forever.
They're closing the arcade, and obviously, I think there's all kinds of crazy things going on at the Hollywood Studios. So who knows?
It's closing. Period. It's done. No, when does that close?
The 11th of January.
So get in your last play at
Pizza Planet arcade.
Sadly, though, they took away the claw machines last year at Pizza Planet. Which was a total bummer because
the claw.
That's why you're going there, man.
Also, little known fact, which I'm sure we will reiterate many times over the course of this, Logan is a claw machine genius.
I have been known to claw.
He's, I would say, like 1 out of 5 claws.
If no one's looking at me, I'm like the Invisible Boy. If no one's looking at me, I can do it. I get a lot of pressure.
In our childhood,
get the shakes.
He would disappear and then come back with a toy.
I could have filled up so many plush trees, but it would have been like Camo Dale Earnhardt Bear from the Denny's. You know, it wouldn't necessarily have been your, you know, it would have been like that minion is orange. Like what's wrong? You know, like there's something a little off about all of them. You know,
the carny tree.
The
carny tree.
That's a good idea. But that being said, they closed those down because of the gambling laws. Is they considered that gambling? Yeah, so there was no more claw machines or redemption. I think in general redemption machines at Pizza Planet. So Pizza Planet, farewell. Because I'm sorry,
What's the point? I go there
not for the horribly slimy pizza that kids love. I go there because I want to play the games. But you take away the alien, you know. I want the claw.
Moment of silence for the claw.
Got Buzz, Woody, the alien. You know what movie that's from? Anybody?
No.
On my bed, I've got a Buzz Lightyear, Buzz, Woody, the little green alien. It's from Spice World, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's
at the same time Logan was winning these toys. He was also one of the biggest Spice Girls fans.
Still am.
I could proudly say I've never seen.
Oh well, that's gonna change.
There's like a spectrum of Spice World movie fans right now. And there's Logan, which is literally the biggest Spice World fan on the planet. I have seen it, and as a youngster, thought it was entertaining. And then there's Terry, who
has never seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, yeah, that happens. If you want to go find the clip, and feel free to send it to us. It's Baby Spice, my favorite Spice Girl,
who I share a birthday with.
Are we ranking Spice Girls now? What in the world?
There's no comparison. But it's in the scene where they're where are they? They're in like Monaco. Someone's gonna be yelling at their screen. They're with these dancers, male dancers, and for some reason she's having this conversation about these stuffed animals that are on her bed. And she starts with, "I got Buzz, Woody, and the green alien." And every time it always hits me that way. All right.
So yeah,
any other attractions that are closing?
The Spice World attraction is closed. No, this is typically when you start to see the water rides also start to close. So Soarin',
is that a water ride?
Oh, yeah. What I meant was Cali River Rapids, I said Soarin'.
You can tell we are a wealth of knowledge here, folks, on WDW Today.
But if Soarin' was a water ride,
you get a spritz, don't you?
You get or at least the smell of oranges.
Yeah. All right.
So Cali River Rapids is closed from the 4th of January to the 12th of February.
And that's Animal Kingdom. It's the big raft ride you get in.
I have never been on because I don't enjoy like.
Have you been on any ride like that? Yeah. The big raft ride.
Oh, sure. I mean, because
it's a common ride.
It's essentially the same. Yeah.
I'm not a theme park. I can handle a good water park, and I like a good theme park. I don't enjoy
getting
mixing of the two, and then having like the squishy shoes and like for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I don't care for that anymore as an adult. I say as a kid, I loved it.
Oh, sure.
And the parents were always like, "No, we don't want to wait in that line." But Mom, there's no line.
There's never a line. I couldn't necessarily, disagree with Terry. I You don't want to be riding that in January, number one. That's why it's closed. That's why a lot of these are like, we're closing it for refurb. Like, no, you're closing it because you don't want a bunch of miserable people probably
walking around the parks.
Or people just don't do their attractions during that time period because it's just too cold. But yeah, I would say those raft rides, man, they can do you in. And I stay away from them until my son is a little older and says we have to do it. And then I'll be happy to do it.
Any other water rides that are closed?
Splash Mountain is closed for 5 days starting on the 10th of January. So
it's actually a pretty short closure.
Short, yeah.
Usually it's much longer. It's usually a month
or
two.
And even though that is a water-based ride, I'm sure most of our listeners know, not the same as the Rapids rides where you're getting drenched. Most of the time I ride Splash Mountain, I don't even get any sort of water on
it. Or if you do, it dries off pretty quickly because you're baking in the sun waiting for a lot of time. But yeah. Splash Mountain.
But the rapids, people come off the rapids and look like they went head first. Yes. It's definitely.
You have to pack a change of clothes or go in a bathing suit or something like that if you do the rapid rides. For Splash, yeah, you said it's only closed for 5 days. We'll have to look into that and see because, man, I've been down there in January and February where it's just like, oh, we're closed for 3 months.
Yep.
And you get back and it's like, look, they fixed the rabbit that bounces. Like that was clearly just closed for totally different reasons. I'm sure also these water rides are incredibly expensive for people, for them to keep up. Because when you're submerging animatronics and submerging all these different
and
things.
Just a track, a rides track.
And water for, a better part of a year each year, there's going to be a lot of issues that are going to come up. So you see that with a lot of the water rides, especially the outdoor water rides. You'll see that a lot.
And then Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin is closed on the 18th through the 12th of February. So
that's kind of a long. Especially with Splash Mountain only being down 5 days.
I don't know what they're doing
there. Maybe we're getting something
cool. That is a fun ride, though. I love that ride.
It is fun. And that's a fun ride with kids, too, because anyone can ride. But unfortunately, you can't if you're going down.
Yeah.
I always win that ride.
You do. Do you know where the secret stuff is?
I believe so. I haven't ridden it in a while.
I haven't been in a while, too. When Will and I did a TV special from Disney World, and we rode with... he's a cast member technically, but he was like a guy in corporate Disney and PR. And he was like, shoot over here and shoot over here. And we like got it all nines all the way across. I have an
image in my head that when I know muscle memory will kick in the next time I'm on it and the same thing will happen, but I couldn't accurately describe it.
I think my wife would be happy if we just rode that ride at Magic Kingdom. Just like on the ending loop. She loves that ride.
Be pretty much the same for a lot of people, though, because it is so, like Logan was saying, anyone can ride it.
A lot of spinning,
it is
though.
So much fun, and it's
I don't want to spin all day, man.
You don't have to spin. The spin is user-controlled, so.
Yeah, but then you're going to get no points.
Then I just turn this spin on, so she's...
Yeah.
So all right. The Liberty Square Riverboat is closed from the 18th of January through the 23rd.
That's actually one of the few attractions I've never really traditionally done.
Huh.
Like, it's been closed when I'm there, or I'm on the way to something else. I've never gotten on it.
I rarely do it in Orlando, but I always do it in Anaheim.
Yeah, I've done it in Disneyland, but I've never done it in Disney World. I watched when they did the Princess and the Frog show. I remember we stayed around and watched that, because that didn't last that long, but it was actually really good. If you like that movie, which is definitely a hit or miss for a lot of people, but I like that movie. It was a cool show, but yeah, I've never done it. If I have done it, it's been... a decade, and it didn't leave a lasting impression.
So the next time you go, you need to bring... Has your son ever been on that ride?
No, I don't think so.
See?
Well, no, I mean, unless he doesn't really go without me very often.
I mean, not to my knowledge. Grandpa could have taken him on or something.
Yeah, that didn't happen. I don't think I've ridden that one in a long... If I have ridden... I'm sure I have. Look, I've been going since I was... two. I have pictures from 2 years old there at Disney World with the ears. I'm sure I've been on it, but I have not been on it probably as an adult. So I'll need to do that next time I'm there.
Yeah. And the last closure is Soarin' is down from the 4th of January to the 2nd of June for the big refurb, putting in, I believe, a new theater. So that's what.
Oh, yeah, they're building
a whole new theater there, and then they're doing...
A new movie.
I guess it's like, I don't know, have they officially said it's Soarin' Around the World?
I think so. We'll look at that. Maybe it's Soarin' Around the World.
Can I just say one thing about Soarin'? Soarin' is the only ride that I actually get afraid of heights on. Because they lift you up, and then if you do look down, it's just a concrete slab. Yeah. Like, it's not like a roller coaster where there's, like, water and things, and it almost feels surreal. It's like, no, you're just really high in a room. And Like, I'm pretty sure those are my flip-flops still sitting on the ground there. Because,
now, what's weird, when you go in Anaheim,
shoeless.
They won't let you leave your flip-flops on the ground, or at least the last time I rode it there.
Interesting.
So, like, the whole ride in, you know, I'm, like, terrified my flip-flops are going to fly into the abyss, you know? I'm going to hit my flip-flops are going to hit the guy in the golf ball.
Pro tip, put them on your hands.
Or you can sit on them.
Or
you can sit on them. Yeah. But, like, when I'm doing roller coasters, I'll put them on my hands.
And then kind of wrap your hands hold on.
Flip-flop hands.
Oh. At least better than they're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have
flip all day exactly. In the theme park.
Then I have to go buy a $45 pair of flip-flop. But I just looked up, it's soaring around the world, and it will be coming in the summer, you know, of 2016, hopefully.
Yeah, it currently says the 2nd of June, but we'll see.
2nd of June. Those dates sometimes get a little pushed around, but I would bet that that's probably pretty close to when they're going to do it, because they're going to want it open for next summer. But instead of soaring around California, which we've been doing in Florida for the better part of a decade, if not longer, now we'll be soaring around the world.
Could they not have just done a second movie in Florida?
A lot of people talked about that, but it's kind of like, what are you looking at? It's like, all right, there's some swampland. There's Disney World.
Still got orange groves, though.
There's the beach.
There's the beach.
Hey, look, more swampland.
Here's another swampland, another beach.
I-4 traffic.
Club La Vila.
Couple outlet malls. I like this. I like this video. I want to see this.
This is good, flying through Panama City.
Just flying through the outlet malls.
We need to make a Google Cardboard. Again, we need a Google Cardboard, all of this, and do a Google Cardboard. We can pay a guy for like $20 as a drone.
A drone, just fly over around Florida.
We need to do it. Look, if you're listening to this and you want to make Soarin' Around Florida, we will gladly pitch in and help. We'll put a soundtrack to it. We'll get a score. It'll be hilarious. We'll do it at our first live event. We'll do a big Soarin' Around Florida. But it's got to be funnier than Soarin' Around the World. But I'm sure it's going to be beautiful. Look, it's a great attraction for all ages. Again, I think there's a height restriction, but I think it's pretty low.
I'm going to miss walking into that theater and smelling that hybrid of evergreen and oranges at the same time.
Well, I told you, I think it's going to be Mandarin oranges now.
Mandarin oranges, yeah.
And like evergreens from Germany
the Black
or
Forest.
Something.
Yeah,
exactly.
Black Forest.
Yeah, so it's we're talking to you about how much we love this attraction, but you can't ride it. So guess what? Hopefully you're planning a trip in the summer, because it's going to be closed for quite some time. For this, our first edition of WDW Today, we wanted to do some things that are familiar and things that are fun. And each and every week, we're going to be joined by our friend and yours, Lynn Testa, on the show for Listener Questions with Lynn.
It's time for Listener Questions with Lynn.
See, those guys never produced your own theme song for you before, you know, so that's what you get coming to the Nashville crew.
I didn't realize you guys could harmonize like that. That's incredible.
Beautiful. Yeah, we actually do it live every week.
Harmony, only Logan.
That'll be at our live show, our first live event. It'll be, you didn't know, where you have a barbershop quartet, so it'll be good. Will was once a Dapper Dan, right? No, that's not true.
I don't think so.
All right, let's get to our first listener question of the day, and that is from Brian LaFrasia from Tampa, Florida. Hopefully that's right, Brian. Something we're continuing on this show is horribly mispronouncing last name. So from Tampa, Florida, he said, "Hey, fellas, based on what we know of the upcoming Star Wars land and the schematics that Walt Disney World put out there a couple months ago showing how the park layout will change, where is Star Wars land in Disney's Hollywood studio? Where is it actually going? It was difficult to tell from the drawings. What's the latest?" Lynn,
man, so that is, as they say, the $6 billion
question. The big question, yeah.
Yeah. So there's two possibilities. And first, let me say, I think we all know where the Toy Story Land component is going.
Right.
That's going behind where Toy Story is now in the what used to be the old backlot tour.
Yeah,
area.
It's a pretty logical, extension of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and the access to that, from what I understand, is going to be through where Magic of Disney Animation, or the new Star Wars launch bay, is now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the further, what I've heard on that is that there may be a neighborhood home segment, sort of like, the street that Andy lives on in Toy Story.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
That might be. And the reason for that, of course, is that they'll have somewhere to put the Christmas lights when they come back.
Okay. So your theory is that the Christmas lights will return.
100% confident that the Christmas lights will return.
I like
Maybe
that.
Not.
I like that confidence.
So why then that just leads me to this question, Lynn. Why the hoopla around, I guess it's just ending for now and it's going to be a couple years.
The other side of the park is a huge construction zone. When it comes back, I don't believe it's going to be branded as the Osborne Lights anymore. I think that agreement has run its course.
Gotcha.
And Disney's not going to, I mean, they do. They did have to pay a little bit, I think, either in money or in trips, free trips to the extended Osborne clan
to
for
get
that.
The lights.
Right. And I think Disney's not looking at that. But if you look at it from the perspective of Disney selling the Osborne Lights packages, the after-hours events that companies pay to rent out, it's, from what I heard, somewhere between $5 and $10 million a year in revenue.
So that, not insignificant.
So the other thing is, on the other side of the park, Star Wars Land, and it can go one of two ways, and I'll give you the pros and cons of each. One idea that's been floated is that you take the area around Echo Lake, the 50s Primetime Cafe, yep. Indiana Jones, through where Sounds Dangerous used to be, plus that Star Wars area and Backlot Express, and you take that and the parking lot in front of it,
okay,
and make that Star Wars Land.
So, I'm just trying to picture this in my mind. Yeah, that's a pretty intense way to do it, but I think it's huge, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so so that's basically cast member parking, the first 20 rows or so.
Which, I understand, is already like they aren't going to be able to park there soon or even can't now.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to roll in trailers to manage the construction, and they can put some of that in the back spaces. But here's the interesting thing. If you looked at the schematics, there's also quite a bit of access road and drainage work that has to be done south of Studios Drive, which is the road that runs parallel, basically from so it's perpendicular to World Drive. It runs parallel from Lights Motor Action all the way behind Muppets, Star Tours, all the way to the parking lot. That area is going to be redone. And it actually gives you a clue as to where Star Wars might go. First of all, they're going to do an access ramp off of World Drive to do another entrance onto the studios from where that road is now. Okay?
All right. I'm following. I'm trying to follow.
All right. So imagine south of World Drive.
In my head, I'm creating a map.
Exactly. So basically, as soon as you get past Art of Animation, you would be able to go right and drive past the back of the studios.
Okay.
New entrance.
So for everyone, not a backstage entrance. So anyone can just go in pretty much straight into the new area.
Right. And I think the reason for that is if you came in by World Drive or you came in by Buena Vista Drive, you wouldn't be able to see any of the Star Wars stuff that's coming up. So literally for two out of the three ways you could get into the park, there's nothing to pull you in, right?
Gotcha.
But if they add this road, and they've already filed the paperwork and they've already filed the Water Conservation District paperwork to do this, then you get to drive by whatever parts of the Star Wars universe that you can see from the road before you get in. And that's going to psych people up.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge draw.
That is why you're an invaluable source here, Lynn, because we would not have known about the water permits being pulled.
Last I heard was that they were just getting rid of Spaceship Earth and putting Star Wars there. So that's incorrect?
There's lots of rumors. You never know.
Probably not going to happen. Yeah. So the big question then is whether lots of things could happen. The big question is whether they do that thing that I just mentioned, whether they take out essentially all of Echo Lake and the parking lot. The alternative is they go from Star Tours all the way back through Lights Motor Action and take and wipe all of that out. And that would include Muppets, Streets of America, and Lights Motor Action. And the advantage to that is you could keep the dining establishments that they have. You could keep Indiana Jones, which takes a lot of people, and only have to disturb really Lights Motor Action at first.
I would be really disturbed if Primetime Cafe went. Like I would cry peanut butter and jelly shake tears.
Would you trade it for Star Wars Cantina?
This is in the heartbeat.
As long as that song is playing the entire time I'm eating.
That's one thing with the Star Wars Land. Look, I love Star Wars more than probably most people would think is acceptable. But the fact that it is, I am kind of conflicted on this Star Wars Land being a new location within the universe. Like, I want to go to the Mos Eisley Cantina. I don't want to go to, some cantina-ish place.
Yeah.
But I do understand it's going to be fresh. It's going to be new. They're always going to be able to update it. It makes total sense. I totally get it.
So hopefully that answers Brian's question.
Yes, I think it did. I think it very well did, and it was a great answer. Thank you, Lynn. Let's move on. Who's the next question?
Well, I've got the next question for you from Jamie Ann Norton from Bowling Green, Kentucky. And she says, I'm taking my first trip to Disneyland in a few weeks and would love to know your recommendations for counter service meals in both parks. I'm surprising my husband with a reservation for Chef's Counter at Napa Rose the night we arrive.
Yeah.
Going to hit Blue Bayou for lunch, but we will likely do counter service the rest of our meals. What are your personal favorites and besides the famous corn dogs?
Well, that takes away a big option there, but it's always
beer.
Exactly. That's a heck of a start there, though, with your Napa Rose and Blue Bayou.
Yeah, so the feeling that she's going to be maybe a little disappointed in her food options of counter service versus the chef's counter.
Yeah, she did mention the Napa Rose counter, which is way better than counter service. But I will give you a Napa Rose tip to ask for Saucy as your server. Your life will be amazing.
I've eaten with him with you before, and it was an entertaining event.
He's like there should be Saucy meet and greets at Disneyland because he's like his own character.
So Saucy.
Yeah, Lynn.
S-A-U-C-Y?
Yes.
Yes. Is it that? Is that
yeah. Well, that's not really, that's his nickname.
Oh.
He's the head sommelier and the purveyor of all fine cheeses there as well.
We'll see if we can get him on the show at some point.
He's the sommelier and they call him Saucy. That's hysterical.
Yeah. Exactly. It's inappropriate. So what are your thoughts, Lynn, on counter service minus the corn dogs?
All right. So the couple of things. First, on Napa Rose, the chef's counter is fantastic. But I think you guys know this too. But you know, there's a fire pit out back that you can ask for if a restaurant is full, and go sit out back there and order literally anything from the menu, including drinks. There's no reservations or tables for that, so it's first come first serve. Yeah. But it's often available.
We did that at the bar, didn't we? Didn't last time were we able to order pretty much full service at the
bar?
We were all there.
A lot of times when I'm in California for business, I'll just go to Napa Rose. I don't want to deal with reservations. I'll just go sit at the lounge, and you can order. I love their appetizers there. I like those better than the menu. So I'll just go in and get a beverage and a couple of apps.
Well, she is set for that.
She's set for Napa. Okay.
She's set for Napa.
She wants to know the counter service.
Let's give her some counter services.
All right. So the highest rated one in Disneyland, I'll break it up by park, is Cafe Orleans in New Orleans Square.
Which has just a lot of fun flair to it.
It does. It's famous for its Monte Cristo sandwich.
Yeah.
Also, it's fried green tomato sandwich. They've got chicken muffaletta. They've got vegetable ragu, a ton of other stuff. All reasonably priced. All of the entrees are under, I believe, $20. Several of them are under $18, but right at the $20 range. All good. The desserts, people typically go for the beignets.
Or breakfast for the beignets.
Oh, yeah.
I've been in the park way too early having beignets in a whatever they call them, whatever the mint julep actually is.
Those two do not go well together
lime,
at all.
Lime soda, kind of.
No. The you could just stop by too for a cup of French onion soup and some fries.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that. So I think that's a good choice in Disneyland. I would have recommended the Big Thunder Ranch Barbecue, which is actually rated just as high as Cafe Orleans. However, Big Thunder Ranch Barbecue is probably going away in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Over in DCA is a little bit more interesting. The Ghirardelli Soda Fountain and Chocolate Shop.
Okay.
Super highly rated by people, especially over the last year. Also, the Pacific Wharf Cafe.
Yeah, I've seen both of those, but I've actually never I've never went to either of them.
Is Pacific Wharf the one that has the bread bread bowls?
Yes.
With the chowder, chowder.
And it's and walk up, tons of seating out in that particular area. So lots of good stuff there. Both of those get on our reader on the unofficial guide reader scale above 97%. And that is pretty good. Now, take that with a grain of salt because the average restaurant in Disneyland is probably at 90%.
Yeah, that's a big difference between Disneyland and Disney World is probably just in general the food selections or the food options are more, I guess, highly regarded in some ways.
My favorite thing to do is to go have breakfast at Flo's.
In Cars Land,
because you're able to sit in Radiator Springs and look at all of the amazing thing, sights and sounds and smells in Cars Land, and the chicken tamale breakfast is literally one of the greatest things
I've never had.
Yeah,
it is good. I do like that flows also, not for breakfast, but I've been there for breakfast too, that weirdly there's Cars-themed beer that you can get, which feels oddly inappropriate.
Like drinking and driving?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
If you look at it, it's all like oil-themed, and there's, but it's their own, you know, I don't know what it actually is, but it's their own branded beer that comes out of Flow's V8, which is just kind of odd
that
in
is
some ways.
Very
but,
odd.
I'll try to post a picture of that on our social media so you can see, because I remember taking a picture last time we were there and being like, this is an odd connection to Cars. You know, it's just a little bit bizarre. But you can get it there. It flows. Carsland has a lot of those. The Cozy Cone area has a bunch of different options. Some are good. Some are hit or miss. You can get the macaroni cheese in a cone, of like a bread cone, which looks way better than it actually is, depending on the heat in California. But, you know, they have some of those options. All of them are decent. You know, I wouldn't say I've had really a horrible, I've had good Chinese food there. I've had lots of different things. So I've
got a personal favorite to plug that's not a walk up, but I think if you're out there, you got to go to Trader Sam's, get out of the heat for a little bit
and enjoy
a nice tiki lounge feel. And they have good, moderately priced food as well. So
yeah.
I think I would definitely suggest doing that. Get out of the park for a little bit, go relax.
And that's probably your one biggest change. If this is your first trip to Disneyland, is just dealing with the fact that depending on where you're staying, it doesn't say where you're staying, everything is walkable. And that really changes the game when it comes to how you experience the entire resort, because the fact that you can walk park to park, restaurant to restaurant, downtown Disney, back in, as long as it's not too crazy when you're going. And you're saying you're going in a few weeks. Hopefully that's sometime in late January or something like that. But it's still, Disneyland's always a little crazy, but overall, that's one of the things you'll love.
There will be quite a bit of construction back in Frontierland.
Oh, that's right, because that'll be after they've closed down that entire quarter of the park.
Star Wars Land. Yeah. Going back to Trader Sam's, the thing I didn't realize about that place, I love the food. The thing I didn't realize is how strong the drinks are there.
Especially if you get the secret menu drinks, which are very strong.
The first time I was there, apparently, Laurel tells me, I remember a little bit of it, I was talking to the people next to me about how awesome pears were, like the fruit.
Like the fruit pears?
Yeah, I had a couple of pear martinis, and then I was apparently espousing like why pears were the best fruit, because they come in different colors.
And because they come in martini form too.
Yeah, apparently you could drink them too. Yeah, so you know what's great about pears? That's Laurel said. That's what my speech started with.
That's your every time you're like, remember that time? Yeah, don't go there again. We're not going to the pear conversation.
No pears.
Well, yeah, with Trader Sam's, if you've been to the one at Walt Disney World, I think it's quite a bit different and in a positive direction. I really like the way.
It's fun, but they also
it's also like a local hangout.
Yeah, when we went was very early. And they had just opened.
And early in the morning.
Yeah. No,
it was just flown in.
No, I'm talking about at Walt Disney World.
Oh, at Disney World. Yeah,
yes.
Sorry.
So we had just gone a few weeks after they had opened there. And they were still ironing out some kinks. So hopefully they've gotten some of the fun things that the Disneyland version has, like the secret menu, some of those things for the Disney fans that really want to go get a Navy grog. They didn't know that yet. So I think the bartender was like... could you tell me what's in that? And I was
that's
your job, sir.
Legitimately was like, what's in that? Can you tell me? If you can tell me what's in it, I can make it. It's like, well, of course. Hopefully that's changed. We'll know that in a couple weeks, probably when we're visiting there again. All right, let's
Steven,
try to pick up the pace here. Come on.
Steven, who I'm not even going to attempt
no,
his last name.
No, I want
name.
You to try it. I want you to try his last name.
And he's a local. He's part of the Nashville Society.
He is part of the Nashville Society.
Croxic?
Croxic?
Yeah, I'm going with Croxic.
Croxic? Yeah, I don't know. His last name almost sounds like it could be its own Star Wars character, speaking of Star Wars.
I'm sure you won't be offended by that at all.
Hopefully not. Can the team continue to make fun of the way Jim Hill talks? It's absolutely hilarious, and I bust out in laughter every time I hear well.
What is this Jim Hill business?
Will's uninformed of this, no. I'm sure it will happen from time to time. And we'll have our new inside jokes for this cast. But Lynn, I don't think we'll let us not continue that.
No, I think so. It's funny. I was talking to the show I do with Jim. We're talking to our producer. And he's actually starting a file of Jim's verbal tics. and the idea is we'll give it to – this is the plan. So I hope Jim's not listening to the show. But the idea is we'll give it to Jim, just the outtakes of his verbal tics, to get across the message that you need to do. something else. But he actually came up with a really great idea for this, and it's the idea that you come up with an index card of alternative words to use for your pet phrases. And every time you feel a pet phrase coming on, you just look down at the index card, use the next thing on it, and put a check mark next to it to indicate that you've done it. That's a great tip.
That is. Thankfully, we're only one episode in with the new cast, so you don't know our ticks. But I'm sure by episode 3, 4, or episode 1500 for that matter, you'll know for sure.
Sure. So Bill Fox, I've got that name right today, from Columbus, Mississippi, wants to know, it's not really new, but with the new Fantasyland construction at and the new construction at Disney Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom, best place to hole up during the upcoming zombie apocalypse.
Throwback land.
Love it. Okay, so new Fantasyland, I really like Be Our Guest. If you think about it from a defensible position, you just pull up the drawbridge or get rid of that bridge.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you've got food, bathrooms, and there are no windows or anything like that. So you're pretty much set.
Yeah.
No windows and a drawbridge.
And for Animal Kingdom, I don't feel like the zombies would ever want to go into Avatar Land, period. Yeah. So
I think Avatar is a zombie.
Yeah. I think Avatar. I like Asia for the same reason or similar reason. So you dynamite the bridge. I'm assuming you have dynamite.
That's a worst big case caveat scenario. To your scenario here.
I mean, I don't know how you guys pack for your trip, or whatever.
Those new security measures.
Yeah, we're gonna get all stopped at security going in the parks.
I know, right?
Those full body scanners not gonna like the dynamite.
So you dynamite the bridge on the way to Dino Land, and then you only have to defend the two entrances, one of which is another bridge to Asia, and then you'll have to defend to Africa. But if you think about the way that you go in to Asia, you know, right before you make that sort of left turn to go towards, that's essentially a choke point, right?
I'm so glad that this isn't like a radio broadcast where someone's just tuning in and hearing this.
But what you can do a couple of things. Either if you decide to back up a little bit before that, you could actually route the zombies into the Maharaja jungle track. And they'll never get out, right? I mean, essentially then it's like zombies versus animals.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, totally trademarked 2016.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All rights reserved.
But if they make it beyond that, you can essentially stop them right there at the choke point. And even then, if they get beyond that, you've got food at the new and drinks at the new bar that just opened up, the Thirsty River. But you can also walk up the track of Expedition Everest and just camp out there.
You can also eat the animals that the zombies kill.
Yeah, but you can only get this kind of coverage here on WDW today. And Lynn, I'm so glad that could be the last question that we wrap up with today, because how else to transition into the new cast is not only throwback, but to go back to the zombie apocalypse. And I think we need to revisit that. I think maybe the zombie apocalypse needs to come back. Maybe once a year we need to do a special where you tell us the newest best place to go just in case. That'll do it for WDW today. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hey, Lynn, give us some plugs. Touring plans, unofficial guides. Where can people get in touch with you?
So I'm at touringplans.com. I'm Len at touringplans.com. Also on Twitter, at Len Testa.
Before we say goodbye today, I just want to give a special thanks to our house band, Off Kilter. You may have known them from playing at Epcot for so many years, and they've really been gracious to us, allow us to use their music and be a part of this broadcast. And we have some cool ways for you to get involved. If you're listening to this on the day of release, if you're listening to this on Wednesday before 7 o'clock Eastern time, their Kickstarter is still going for their sixth album. They've already reached their goal, but they're trying to hit $20,000. And if they do that, they're going to give some cool stretch goals, some extra songs. It's a great way to support not only what we do here at WDW today, but great acts of Disney World. And again, Off Kilter, just go to Kickstarter, search for Off Kilter, and we'll put it on our social media page as well. But special thanks to those guys. It's really awesome to have them as our house band.
Also, I've got some news I can break here.
Cha-ching news.
Off Kilter is going to have their CD release party June 18th. At the Winter Garden Theater. I'm really excited about this, guys. And hopefully in the coming weeks, we're going to see ways that WDW Today is integrated into the CD release party. We really want to help make this the best possible CD release party ever.
Yeah, and you can get tickets for that actually on the Kickstarter. I did myself, but I think we're going to be involved. I've been talking to Jamie. We're bouncing things back and forth, but that's going to be awesome. And if you just want to find out more about Off Kilter, find out they're going to be playing festivals all year round. They're always playing shows. They're always doing stuff. You can buy their CDs, do whatever you want to do with Off Kilter. Just go to offkilter.net. And of course, we'll have that linked on our website as well. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for WDW Today this week. And of course, we couldn't do it without our sponsor, and that is Off to Neverland. Off to Neverland is just an incredible travel agency. Their magic makers are awesome. I'm working with them right now, planning my next vacation. You know, they set up the trips. They do everything, fast passes, dining reservations, whatever you need. Visit gotoneverland.com. They can book on property, off property. They've been really gracious to us. Their magic makers are awesome. And they're authorized Disney vacation planners, so you know they're good. gotoneverland.com. All right, well, for Logan Seculo,
Will Haynes,
Len Testa,
and Terry Weaver,
this has been WDW Today for this week. We'll talk to you next week.